most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night. Happy Memorial Day, everybody. Well, speaking of memorials, I was just at my Jaya's down here in Florida at the Kashi Ashram. Check out Kashi.org. I'm sending my love to everyone there. Jai Ma, what a beautiful, beautiful memorial was for Ma Jaya. Y'all remember we had her here on the show on Max and Friends. So if you want to check out those interviews, go to my archives because they're there. Well, I want to say thank you to all the troops. Y'all are just, you mean so much to this country. America, without you, would really be in distress. Y'all take on so much, and very seldomly do we appreciate you or say thank you. And the worst part is I fall to the short of the glory of God all the time, because I know that when I'm walking through the airport and I see you all, I should be the first one to say thank you. And then we feel like maybe we should or maybe we shouldn't. But people, do me a favor. From now on, if you see a good old American troop, say thank you to them. Just makes the world a better place. Well, I'm going to say thank you to all of our troops tonight. We're going to play a song called America Song. Speaking of songs, we've got the Hot Sardines. I love them all so much. You know, remember last week we played them? We gave you a little teaser. They played in LA this week at the Chateau Marmont. We love them here at Max and Friends. We were jamming to them. And then we've got coming up just after this song, America Song, we've got Braxton A. Cosby. Now, I know y'all remember I had Rita Cosby here not too long ago, and you might be thinking, Braxton Cosby, does that name sound familiar? Well, of course it does. Why? Because he is the nephew of a famed Bill Cosby, and he's got a book, a fabulous book, by the way, called, well, here's the thing, it's a new form of writing. It's a mix of sci-fi and romance, and the word that's coined is sci-fans. So if you all think that you want to get involved in a new trilogy, this is the one to get involved in. And we're going to have Braxton A. Cosby here in just a little bit. Check out BraxtonAcosbyGodson.com because there you can learn more about him. If you want to follow him on Twitter, go to @CosbyKid84. Tweet us your questions. Of course, you could tweet me @MaxTucci. Hi to Cynthia, who's listening right now. I've got to say thank you to the Florida Home Design and Remodeling Show. I had a fun time cooking there today with, of course, my friends, the foodie tutor, Sophie Backer, and my new friends. We had them on the show last week from Kitchen Cousins on HGTV. We cooked up a storm. Chef Paulette, you rock. Thank you. And, of course, Sharon Ruby. I'm in a very thankful mood today, everyone. So I'm hoping you're tuning in because I'm thankful for y'all listening. And I'm thankful for this song, America Song. For all you troops out there, we love you. God bless. Stay strong. Do your thing. And when we're back, we're going to talk to Braxton A. Cosby about his book, The Star-Crossed Saga, Protostar. Stay tuned, and you're listening to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. We'll be right back. America Song.
We have dreams from the sea to shine in the sea.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. It is 11:11, so make your wish on the East Coast. How you doing, East Coast? Thanks for tuning in tonight. West Coast, what's going on? Y'all need to give me some love. I get all my East Coast loves, and then my West Coast is kind of like forgetting me because I'm in Florida right now, but I love my West Coast. How you doing, L.A.? I get your shout-outs from time to time. But here's the deal, everyone. That was America's Song. Today is the Memorial Day weekend. Woo, that song gives me chills. It just makes me love this country. God bless America. Ain't that the truth? Well, I tell you, are you ready for a new saga in your life? The Star-Crossed Saga? Well, the book is Protostar. I bet you all want to know what it's about, don't you? Well, it's a sci-fans book. Have you ever heard that term before? Sci-fi mixed with romance. And, of course, the author is Braxton A. Cosby. Y'all know that last name because it's famous, and it's going to be even more famous because these books are going to turn your world around. A little bit of sci-fi and romance. We could all use that in our life, right? Well, have you ever all had an Isaiah moment? We're going to talk to my next guest, Braxton Cosby, in just a moment about his Isaiah moment and where these books came from and when are the trilogy going to be complete so we all could get the movie, right? That's what I'm feeling. Well, let's talk about the book first, and let's welcome Braxton A. Cosby to Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. How you doing, Braxton?
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I'm glad that you're here. And we want to talk about these books. I have a feeling these books are going to be the new wave of the future, especially with that coin phrase, sci-fans. Tell us about your book.
Yeah, sci-fans, to me, I just think it's just a nice mix of storytelling. And one, you have the science fiction elements to it, which is, in this series, is more of in the backdrop. But I think it just adds a nice little flair. It's the intelligence, it's the ingenuity, it's the creativity that comes around. And then there's the romance that I think, you know, everybody can appreciate, even if they can't actually grasp the concept, but just that connection between two people that goes a little bit beyond just the physical attraction, but it just goes to that kind of that mental connection, that emotional connection that you have with somebody when you spend time with them. And even if you're not really prepared to embark on a journey of romance, you just find yourself caught up in it. And that's essentially what happens with the characters in the first book of the trilogy, Protostar.
So this is a saga that we all need in our lives. Now, how did you get inspired to write this book? Because was being an author something you always wanted?
No, not at all. I went through school, got my bachelor's, master's, and then my doctorate in physical therapy, and then pretty much just been going through life. Just working with people on a daily basis, and rehabilitation and getting them back on their feet, getting them moving, and been doing that for about 11 years. And I, like I said, that Isaiah moment you talked about was just one day in church. I was there, and it was just a moment where the bishop was preaching and said, hey, you know, that he felt like God was telling him that there was somebody in the church that day that he wanted to do something special, something different, but nobody was really asking. So I just kind of, I paused for a moment and started praying and said, well, Lord, how would you use me? You know, if you wanted to use me, then would that be me? And I distinctly heard him just say, write a book. And I'm just like, okay, well, on what? You know, and it kind of told me the romance piece. And really, I'm a big movie fan, and I love the good movie. But I like the cinematic ones, but I'm really getting a big appreciation for the ones that have a good story to tell, not just blasting a whole bunch of special effects on the screen. That's not enough to capture my interest. I wanted something with stories that actually talked about the human psyche and people connecting on a deeper level. So he said all those movies that you like to see where they have those big action elements that you kind of feel like maybe we're missing out. He said, you put all those action elements in your book, but I really wanted to be centered around the connection between characters and the romance that's there. So that's where sci-fans came in, the mix between the science fiction and the romance. And I would say the book is probably a mix of about 70-30 from the romance perspective, 70, and then about 30 on the science fiction because it's more in the backdrop, even though it does take place essentially on Earth.
So Protostar is the book. Now, you see, isn't it amazing when God speaks and we finally listen?
Mm-hmm.
But yes, that was good for you because the bishop spoke, you heard, then you asked God and God spoke back and the book happened here. It's born. Protostar, what gave you the title? What inspired you for the title Protostar?
Protostar is actually the birth of a star. So that was the birth of a series. So that's exactly essentially what I did with the title, was that, you know, I wanted to be a birth of something new, something fresh, and big, and just the birth of a new epic story that's going to take, you know, the readers through a lot of twists and turns. They're going to root for the characters, they're going to root against some of the characters, and then when it all comes around towards the end, you're really trying to figure out how they come about making a decision. And essentially, the Isaiah moment came because, you know, Isaiah had his moment in the Bible where God asked, you know, who should they send, and Isaiah just stepped up and said, send me. So it became somewhat of a journey for me to say, well, you know, I'm brave enough to actually take this vision on, you know, send me. I'll go ahead, I'll try it, I'll do it, I'll step out, and I'll, you know, I'll do the research, I'll get the characters together, I'll do the outline, I'll stay up late at night writing these stories.
How long did it take you to write this book?
This book was actually done, believe it or not, in about three and a half months.
Wow, 3.5 months.
Yeah, that was just, you know, to put it together. And then, of course, the editing piece that goes along with that with my publisher. So that takes a little longer. But from beginning to end with me, it was 3.5 months.
Now, your uncle calls this book, your uncle Bill Cosby, calls this book A Mythical Swagger.
Yeah.
When you read that line, A Mythical Swagger, what was your first thought? Especially since Bill Cosby's your uncle. Everyone knows he's a comedic legend. Here he's calling your book A Mythical Swagger. What did you think?
Well, you know, I was with him in New York when we were doing a book signing at the Human Bookstore. And he was talking about the book, and he held it up, and he said, you know, in this is a blackness, a mythical swagger. And I'm sitting there like, man, okay, I guess I could see that. I'm trying, you know, he's just so good with words. And, you know, and he talked about the mythical swagger. And I think he really was trying to accentuate just that mythical presence that you get in a story that really takes people to a place where they feel they're onto something special. You know, I think we talk about some of the old stories, you know, Snow White and all these great stories that have kind of come from the fantasy world, and there's a mythical presence to them where it's a little bit beyond just reading a story, but it's something that it captures you, it inspires you, and hopefully what the story will do is it will make people long to actually try to build connection between some of the relationships that they have, you know, not even just the personal ones, but family, you know, friends, all of those important relationships that you have where you just try to get back to the innocence of a relationship. And it's not just about what somebody has or what they could do for you, but really just the value of just knowing people and getting to know them and getting in their mind.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of family, you've got two daughters, don't you?
Yes.
And how was it, you know, they're young still, right? They're what, 9 and 4?
Yes, and that's the thing. That's the challenge. When you write a book, you're like, you know, my 9-year-old was reading on, she was just finished fourth grade, but she was reading when I started writing. She was reading on like a fifth grade level, and, you know, fourth grade. So you had to be careful what you put in the book. You could just eventually pick it up one day and say, oh, Daddy, what's this mean, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, you know, well, I had to make sure that
that's
it was
a great
something
point.
That was innocent. Yeah, you
that,
know.
That it's innocent. Because, you know, especially with romance books now, you know, there's the 50 Shades of Grey. And even though it's more a sexual provocative book on romance, what your book, do we have the sex in it? Because people want to know.
No, it's not. And see, that was it. It was about keeping it clean. It was about really teaching young people there was the value of connection beyond physical, you know.
Yeah. That's what we really need in this world, don't we?
Yeah. And that's essentially why I think God really called me to write it, is to give young people that as a gift, to say, hey, man, you know, you can really have something fantastic. You can have this love affair that just kind of erupts from just being around somebody and really having nothing to gain by being with them, and just kind of something exploding out of it that is just so – it just transcends materialism, you know. And it transcends sex and all these other things that, you know, young folks are bombarded with. So I think I just wanted to build an appreciation for that again with young people, because they're so you can influence them so much. You know, they're so flexible and pliable, and you can just give them something and they can go with it and they can read it and they can just kind of make it their own. But I wanted to give them something that I thought was very valuable. And really the main character, William, the catch line of the book is, choose, you know, what would you choose, love or irrefutable duty? He was actually sent to the planet Earth, Tennessee to be specific, to kill this girl. and there were some extenuating circumstances that took place that he had to delay his execution. And from hanging around him so long, he just starts to get like infected with these emotions that he has, which is basically love. He's starting to experience love for the first time. And in that, he has to make a choice. What is he going to do? Is he going to go through with his mission and kill her? Or is he going to actually choose love? And I think the value of accountability that young folks don't have these days is really what I wanted to push in the book as well, to show them that, hey, when you make a decision, you got to make the decision. You got to stick with it. You can't flip-flop back and forth. And
right.
You'll never make the wrong decision as long as you make the right one. And I think the right one it starts with your heart. And I think there's just a spiritual conscience in all of us that kind of tells us right from wrong. And as long
absolutely.
As you make
and
that
how,
one.
And we never listen to it, right?
the majority of the time we probably don't, you know?
Right. It's about time we change. Well, I just got a great tweet from Wendy, and I tell you, Braxton, these people, I love my listeners because they I think they should always be my co-host. I just got a tweet at Max Tucci, and Wendy wants to know, where can we get the book? I was just going there, Wendy, so be still and know for a minute.
She can get it anywhere. If she goes on Amazon and she looks me up as a seller, I actually sell the autograph versions, Cosby Kid 84. She can go right on Amazon and look it up and then look for me as a seller. But it's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble's website. It's in some of the Barnes & Noble's if you go into the store. If not, if you even walk into Barnes & Noble, you can actually just ask them to order it in for you. And they can.
And then after you ask them, tell them that you want them to come and do a signing too.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Get you on tour.
Set me up. Yep. Yep.
Get you on tour. Well, speaking of book tours, are you going on any book tours in the near future?
We just finished quite a few. Like I said, I was out of quite a few of the Barnes & Nobles locally. Did one in South Carolina, did one in North Carolina, and, of course, some down here in Georgia we've done. And what I'm doing now is, with June coming around, kind of taking maybe a little bit of a break to start working on another novel that I'm currently playing around with. It was a health book, really. Health and fitness and wellness and things like that. So I'll probably take a little time to do that, but definitely want to get back into also the school systems when the summer's over and going to talk to young folks and getting involved with them as well.
The motivational speaker in you. Well, listen, speaking about health shows, there's a radio show that people can catch you on too called Ask the Fat Docs. And that website, everyone, is askthefatdoctors.com. Tell us about that radio show.
Yeah, Ask the Fat Doctors is kind of like this. It's a fun take on health and wellness where we really talk about the facts. We have myself, I co-host with Jamie Dukes, who's an NFL network TV personality, played in the NFL for 10 years. And another young lady named T. Fox, who's a radio personality in Atlanta for a while. We actually just have that, and we have some doctors come on, one of the chief bariatric surgeons at Howard University, and some other guests who just always talk about health and wellness, what's going on with fitness, what's some of the new cutting-edge things. But we also talk about current events. We talk about we have a little segment called Hold On Player, where we talk about what's in the current news and like, hey, hold on, player, you know, what's going on with this? You know, we just kind of open it up to people. The show is recorded, and then we put it on, and we have it on the website. So when you go to askthefatdoctors.com, you can actually just listen into some of the past podcasts and things like that. I also have a health and wellness blog that's attached to that website that people will be able to see when they go there, and they'll see some of my blogs about health and wellness and fitness and things like that.
You know, we kind of live a parallel life because I don't know if you knew this about me, but I have a cooking show with Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah, I heard. I see some of that on
Shock
the
Thunder.
Website.
You know, and that's funny because when you see that video, I probably need to be asked the fat docs how I can get tricked. Because, you know, I got to tell you, Braxton, when I go on these cooking tours that I do, I just did one today, we are constantly eating. You know what I mean?
I know.
And so since that shoot that I did with Daryl, I am going to say I have lost some weight and getting fit. But it's such a battle. Why is it such a battle?
Yeah. I think that's it, is that the people don't really get into the psychology of eating, and that's where I'm really trying to focus with this new health book that I'm working on, is really the psychology, like, why do we eat? You know, I think there's a lot of factors that go into eating. There's our cycles as far as night and day, so we're like, okay, it's the morning, I should eat. You get to the middle of the day, you kind of know you should eat again, and then at night you eat. But then there's all these other things that come in. There's the emotional attachment to eating. You know, I think that starts very young.
Oh, absolutely.
There's also just, you know, how do you see yourself? How do you look in the mirror and see yourself? Are you a person who you feel is fit? I've seen a lot of these shows now where you talk about some of the eating shows, and the revolution and things like that, where people are saying, like, hey, they didn't really know they were getting fat until it was too late.
Right.
And they got, you know, they had some episode, took them to the doctor, and then they realized, like, man. And when they start losing weight, it's when they realize how big they were.
You know?
When they start looking in the mirror going, I used to look like that, or they see a picture.
Right. I saw my video. I was like, what?
But you know, you just don't. It's insidious. You put on 12 pounds during a year, and it's not a big deal. You don't see it, you know, because
right.
you see yourself every day. You see yourself naked every day, so you know you don't see it, you know. And I remember a lady who actually had a bariatric surgery, lost over 140 pounds, and she said when she looks in the mirror, she still sees a fat person.
Yeah, that's the whole psychological thing. Because I know even when I look in the mirror, I'm like, is this for real? And then I'm like, all right. And then it's funny because someone told me, they said, all right, you know what? When you tell yourself you look good, you'll start feeling good. And my issue was never like a body image issue. You know, it was just like, I'm eating because I'm doing cooking shows all the time. And it's funny because I wanted to start a channel, a network instead of the Food Network. I said, we're going to have the eating channel because that's all these shows are. It's all about eating.
That's my fear of getting on one of the shows. Is that, I mean, I'm like, man, they really have to eat every day. I mean, they must come there starving, you know, so that they don't, when they eat, that's pretty much the only meal of the day, I would assume, you know.
So, and sometimes, you know, we're on set all day long, and then craft services comes around, and you're like, all right, I'm cooking, and there's craft services. This is ridiculous. But speaking of craft services and those kind of moments in life, I want to know about a moment, because everyone's asking, I'm getting tweets over here. How is your life with your Uncle Bill Cosby?
Oh, it's hilarious. It's educational. It's always educational. He's always teaching you something, you know, and there's just such a wealth of knowledge. Just the history of almost the United States with entertainment, as far as when you sit down and talk with him, you get a sense of where everything came from, and you understand the value of the hard work that goes into it. Nobody has handed anything. He's never handed me anything. Everything that he's done with me as far as helping my education and even with the books and entertainment folks and everybody, it's always based on you taking the first step and then him kind of helping you along. But, you know, you definitely have to step out there on your own first. There is no hand-holding, and I think there's such a value in that because, you know, really your focus should never really be on people helping you, but, you know, relationship with God and your own inner peace of being able to do something, and then as the world helps, they help. But really, just kind of having that satisfaction of knowing that you really did do it, and you really did step out, and you really did take that leap of faith, so that it's not all, oh, I hope this person can do this for me, because people more times than not will most likely let you down, and you really should never hold that much pressure on folks to always come through for you. So. With him, it's just, it's hilarious. I mean, we laugh. Every time I'm with him, I'm always laughing. And there's always some nugget to take away. When I spoke to him in New York, he was, I said, you know, how have you stayed so relevant so long? I mean, you've been in this business for years. Anything you do so long, you got to believe that there's going to be some motivation and, you know, hey, maybe you should change this now. Maybe you should start doing this and, you know, maybe you should write this way. How some of the pioneers who have been so famous and successful have stayed who they are at the end of the day. They're doing the same type of comedy. They're doing the same type of TV shows. They're doing the same type of entertainment, music. How those people hold and they stand fast is very encouraging and inspirational. And I asked him, he said, you know, you have to build a team around you who really believes in what you do.
Yeah.
You know, they have to understand, like, hey, you know, what you're doing is special because, you know, we know there's no other Bill Cosby on the planet.
Absolutely.
You know? And when you do what you do and you know, Max, hey, you want to be the only Max on the radio or on the TV, you know, doing your thing. You don't want any – you want other people to be copycats. You don't want to copycat anybody, you know.
Absolutely.
So you got to have that team that actually believes that, hey, what Max is putting out, I'm buying. If he's selling, I'm buying, and that's the key. But – it really does start with, you know, building your own self-confidence, having
it
that
does.
Faith that can really just move mountains and just staying steadfast, because people are going to want to make you into somebody else eventually.
That's always the case. And I think when we find out who our authentic self is, then we can be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And people really – America's interesting because we're talking about Memorial Day here today on LA Talk Radio's Max and Friends. I've got Braxton A. Cosby, author of Protostar, here with me, nephew to Bill Cosby. We're talking about some fun things. And one thing I'm talking about, because all of you Americans out there know, especially in this country, is that you can see through all of the nonsense and you know what authentic looks like. You know, we've been structured to sway, but I think at the core of who we are as a country, we can see the authenticity in people. And that's why your uncle has been in such a longevity of a career, because people see that he's an authentic person, and who he is who he is. But we were speaking about something, and I want you to go on this real quick, because I felt the motivational speaker and you right there, is that when you were telling us, how can we step out and do something? So I want you, because we've got listeners all over the world right now. That's how we roll here on Max and Friends. And I want you to talk to those people, because I can feel there's someone out there right now that asked the question. I know you didn't tweet it to me, but I feel you out there. And you're saying, yeah, I've heard this before, but how can I actually step out and do something? So, Braxton, let them know.
I tell you, essentially, with me, Max, it's faith. It really is. And my faith is in God and what he called me to do. And believe me, you know, we'll get in our own way, and then we'll go blaming it on somebody else. Well, it was this person holding me down, and it was this and that, or it was the devil made me do it. You know,
right, right.
More times than not, it's really the biggest deterrent to our own growth and our progress is ourself, because we start to doubt. We start to not believe. One of my biggest things now is my drive is to really find out what my passion is. And then, you know, right now you work a job because you need to pay your bills, but hopefully your passion and your job blend one day and you're really living in grace then. And you're really feeling just, I mean, every day you wake up and you go to work or whatever you're doing, you really feel like, man, this is amazing. And because on one end, you should be helping somebody and the prosperity just comes along with that without you having to really beg for it. And I think people need to sit down and write out goals, what they really love to do, what they feel like they're gifted with, and then they can try to monetize that just so you can live. You know, it makes a lot of sense. And but in the meantime, you need to get something going that actually can help you pay your bills until you can get to that point where you can just do what you love to do, and then always just be available to be used to help others. You know, I think that's what we're here on this planet. It's a small planet, as big as we think it is, and if you don't spend your time helping other people, I just can't imagine anybody just feeling as if they're the only person on the planet. You know, no man is an island. Everybody should be able to help somebody else out and doing something, and if your passion can be about helping others, motivating others, inspiring others, you're going to do nothing but walk in prosperity because you're helping other people out.
Absolutely. Well, you know, there's a great phrase. Passion is pursuing a successful seed in spite of negativity. And this world is full of negativity, but pursue people, because, you know, what God puts in you, it is for you. And I always say on Max and Friends, you know what I say? Die empty, meaning whatever God puts in you, make sure you go out of this earth with not carrying it. Just die empty. Well, we got to ask you a quick question here, because you've got a little bit of an addiction with 17 creatures in your house, I heard.
Yeah, now we're up to more now. I've got these fish. I was taking care of a patient who had a total knee replacement in their home, and then a week went by or so, and she told me that the wife was telling me she was selling the fish tank. And I saw these beautiful fish in there. I said, well, how much are you selling? And I, you know, thinking maybe I might buy fish or not. She told me there's a great price on the tank and all the pieces. And there were 17 fish in there at the time. And I said, man, well, you know, I'd be willing to take that off your hands for you. So we hauled this thing up to my house, got it in the house and everything. And before you know it, they had babies. And then I had another 14 fish. And then the next generation had babies. I'm like, man. So I've got over like 40 fish in this tank now. And they are fabulous. These African cichlids, they are just some of the easiest little fish to take care of. And they're, you know, you can kind of train them. You come up to the tank and you wave the food bag and they know it's time to eat, you know. And they just, you know, they're very interesting. So, yeah, they're no longer my 17 buddies. I got like three generations of them in there now.
Now, are they going to play a role in your coming books?
No, but you know what, in my motivational stuff, I really believe as I started caring for these fish, I feel like God was talking to me about how he kind of handles us, you know, in this world. You know, we just need to just be present, be in it, just anticipate. He's going to feed us, you know. He's going to filter all the mess and the stuff that comes out that could actually hurt us and discourage us, you know. So we've got the filters on there. You know, he's going to provide the scenery. He's going to change things in and out. He's going to care for us. He's going to clean us up. So I just really see it as symbolism for how God takes care of us, just like a fish tank, you know. And all we've got to do is just
finding Nemo, right? Finding God.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we just got to sit back and trust and say, hey, man, I know my meal is coming. I know that the sun is going to be here in the morning, and I know it's going to be dark at night, you know. But
absolutely.
But eventually, the light will shine again. So they really have taught me the relationship that I share with God through just taking care of a fish tank.
That's wonderful. Well, hold on real quick. Hey, Ronan, what's everyone listening to? LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. We've got Braxton A. Cosby, author of Protostar. Y'all can all go get it on Amazon. The Star-Crossed Saga. It's a trilogy, so y'all want to get prepared. The books are coming out. Speaking of fish over here, we got the Hot Sardines coming up. You know how much I love their music. They make me jive and dance and do my thing. Well, they're going to be here in just a moment. But we've got Braxton here. You can all follow him at CosbyKid84. For more of that radio information, go to AskTheFatDoctors.com. The show is Ask the Fat Docs. So I got to ask you a question before I let you go, Braxton. What do you want your legacy to be?
Oh, that's a good one. I've kind of got I got a lot of staffs in the fire right about now. You know, I'm just kind of, I got it all laid out, and I'm just letting the Lord take it where it needs to. I think at this point, if I could just be known as somebody who, through my own personal testimony, could encourage others to stand and to just really be self, but to identify with their own authenticity, and then just knowing where their help comes from and where their strength comes from, then I'll be perfectly happy with that. You know, these stories, I really feel like God has called me to do these stories and to provide healing for people. I've got about 8 books that I want to write, and these are, 2 of them are series, and the rest are just other short stories, and of course the health book as well. So through storytelling, I want to heal people. Through my practice of physical therapy, I want to be able to help others too. And anything else that comes along, you know, I got the exercise video I was telling you about before. Mm-hmm. That's going to be being put together in July. So anything with health and wellness, just anything that can empower people to do better, no matter what it is all I would need my legacy to be.
All right. Well, I'm feeling that. And you know that where you are right now, the fullness of God is. So
amen.
That's what's up. Keep on doing your thing. Take it to the max. Protostar, everyone, go get it on Amazon.com. Love it. Follow Braxton A. Cosby Godson.com. That's the website. There you could follow him on Facebook, Twitter at CosbyKid84. Braxton, thank you so much for being here.
This has been a pleasure, Max. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And the next time I'm in Atlanta, we're going to go to 2 Urban Licks. Have you been there?
Please, yeah, no, I have not. So, yeah,
stop.
I'll save it just for you then. You holler at me, and then I need to come on that show to see what you guys are eating.
That's the truth. Well, you know what? Maybe we all need to get together with the Ask the Fat Docs, and we'll do
it. Because,
you know, Daryl Dawkins is all about heart healthy, so maybe
That's
we can
right.
get some heart healthy over there. Because, you know, he's like 6'11 and 300 pounds. So we'll make things happen over there with Ask the Fat Docs. But it's been a pleasure to have you here. We're going to play some Hot Sardines now, so we're going to let you go. Have a wonderful night. We look forward to the trilogy of your book when you come out with some more books, because there's going to be so much in your future. We want you back here on Max and Friends.
Amen. Thank you.
All right. Well, have a wonderful night, and let everyone know. Say, this is Braxton Cosby, and you're listening to Max and Friends. I want that clip.
This is Braxton Cosby. I'm on Max and Friends.
All right. Have a good night. Be blessed. Stay focused. And of all, be encouraged. Do your thing. I'm encouraged listening to you. So, and I know my listeners are too. Have a wonderful night. And we're going to play a song right now, everyone, from my favorite new band, if you want to call them that. We're going to play Some of Those Days, because it's just been some of those days. And when we're back, we've got Elizabeth and Evan here from the Hot Sardines. Hit it, Ronan.
My hugging, you'll miss my kissing, you'll miss
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. I just love the way Ronan faded that with that horn right into Max and Friends. Hey, Ronan, what is everyone listening to? Don't y'all get it confused for another show, because this is Max and Friends on LA Talk Radio. We've got Elizabeth here from the Hot Sardines. I'm so excited I could barely sit still. How you doing, Elizabeth?
Hi there.
I know we have a little echo, but it's not on air. It's just in the studio. So if you hear yourself, it's double time. But hi, Elizabeth.
Hey there. How are you?
I'm fantastic. I just love you all. I saw you at the Boom Boom Room. Y'all have changed my life since I saw you two Friday nights ago. Since then, you've been in LA. How is your tour going?
The LA time was fantastic. We had a great time. We were there for just a few days, but we got to play a couple of wonderful gigs and eat all of the tacos in LA.
Oh, and all that fried fish. You got that fried fish cooked up at Chateau Marmont, no?
We did. We're big fans of fried fish.
Well, that's
we'll take fish any way we can get it, Max.
There you go. Well, that's Evan, everyone. He's part of the band, the Hot Sardines. They're here tonight. I don't know if I feel weird calling you guys a band, because you're more than a band. You're a movement.
Oh, wow.
Wow, I love to hear that.
I like hearing that, Max, a lot.
And so it's kind of like when I say the band, like, you know, I want you guys to come and do my event here for it. I'm like, the band. I'm like, they're not a band. They're a movement. So speaking of movement, we played you guys last week. You know how many emails I got from my listeners saying, oh, my God, we love the Hot Sardines. Who are they and where are they from? So, Elizabeth, talk about that question.
That's fantastic. I want to know how many emails you got. That's really exciting.
How did you form your band?
The songs that we play are almost, some of them are almost 100 years old. So Evan and I didn't know each other, and we both had grown up with this music and had really kind of not done anything with it. And we met actually through Craigslist. Evan, do you want to fill them in?
You know, Evan, I heard that
sure.
About Craigslist.
Yeah.
So tell us about Craigslist and how you formed this movement.
Well, what happened was I had always been wanting to play this music, though I had never been a professional musician. And without my knowledge, Elizabeth was thinking the exact same way. And through various ads on Craigslist, we found each other at this studio above a Chinese noodle shop in Manhattan for a jam session. And there were some other musicians there with us. And immediately Elizabeth and I, you know, clicked, because we had this same reference of body of songs that we both love. And that's not common, that I hadn't run into many people that enjoyed this music in the same way I did. And so we took it from there.
And
yeah, we're really talking about a whole body of songs that's like super, super early Louis Armstrong, from like the late 20s and early 30s. And you don't really hear a ton of it. We had both, as it turned out, kind of grown up listening to this stuff. And so when we met at this really random sort of early traditional jazz session, we found ourselves geeking out together over some of these songs we both knew that few people know about, period, but especially you almost never hear live nowadays. And that's kind of where it grew from, is that this music is very hard to hear in a live setting. And it's
that's
fantastic. You know, these songs are beautiful.
It is. I'm calling it a movement. You know, my grandfather came to this country in the 20s, and he took over Delmonico's downtown, right?
So we had Delmonico's
in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. That's how long we had it for in our family. So I know that if my grandfather met all of y'all, y'all would have been tap dancing at the bar at Delmonico's downtown, Oscar's Delmonico. But, you know, we got a tweet right now. I love it. That's why, because, you know, the whole prohibition thing and the whole – you know, speakeasies. Yeah. You're like, you are the movement of the speakeasies. You make me want to have Prohibition back just so we can steal a drink in the basement of a place and hear you all play. But we got
that's great.
Right now.
That's how we think, Max. You know, it has a feeling, that era.
I got it. I got it. The minute I saw you, you either get it or you don't. And those that get it, y'all know what's up. We got a tweet from Tony. He missed the show last week. Shame on you, Tony. But you can get the archive on Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. We're going to play for you just a quick minute of what we played last week that got you all addicted to having the sardines, the hot sardines, Elizabeth and Evan here on Max and Friends. Ronan, hit it real quick. Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was the Hot Sardines. They are amazing. Y'all need to love them, hold them, play them, bring it back. Let's bring back Prohibition. What do you think, Evan?
I think that's always what we wanted to have happen. And in a strange way, Max, there's this interesting thing happening in New York, and I'm sure it's going to happen in L.A. These kind of internet-organized speakeasy parties out in warehouses at secret locations in Brooklyn where we like to play with burlesque, and it's a whole thing where people come and fully dressed in that period. It's quite a scene. Next time you're in town, maybe you come see us at one of these.
Absolutely. Well, we got to bring you down to Florida. I'm working on that now. So, because I just want you guys, you know, we're doing that big event at Mar-a-Lago, Trump's place. And like Elizabeth said, we play there all the time. So, when we first met.
Yeah.
But, you know, the energy between you all is just, it's so evident, because when you get, you know, when I saw you in the Boom Room, I think there were, what, nine of you?
Yeah,
there were, I think, seven or eight. Yeah, but I'm glad it seems like more. I mean, that means the music's working.
And the thing is that you all just work so well together, you know, and it's like people go on big musicians go on tour, and they take such a long process to find band members to work well. And you all, through the grace of Craigslist, thank you, Craig, you're the man for putting them together.
Yeah.
But you guys just really – You're the movement. I don't know what more to say. It's just I loved all the energy. So, Elizabeth, how do you feel that your energy just all vibes so well?
Well, I have to say that all the credit really has to go back to this music, because I think that one of the things that's so incredible about it is it's very welcoming, this music, you know. It's like it's music that when you hear it, it wants you to join in. It wants to kind of wrap its arms around you. This is not music that wants you to sit quietly at your table and think about it and think about its notes and how, you know, how the chord progressions are happening. It's music that wants to involve you completely. And when I had never played a lick of music, but went and heard this music for the first time, and when I say this music, I mean the really sort of early jazz from the 20s and 30s, traditional jazz. You know, it was the experience, and I've said this before, it was a little holy. It was like, I'm not a religious person, but I felt like this was church for me. This is really, it kind of reaches in and it grabs you.
I got news for you, Elizabeth. I saw your shoulders when you were singing, and you had more church in you than this thing down in Alabama. You got the shoulders ready, the head, you had the hands. I was like, ooh, that's a Jesus moment.
Well, but it really, you know, it's, it's very, and I feel like all of the musicians were fortunate to have sort of joined the band, joined the collective and play with us. You know, they respond to that, what this music does. They respond to these songs, which again, you know, how many songs can you say have stood for 100 years? These songs are, right. A lot of these songs are so enduring. They're so universal. They just have something. And we both play songs from 100 years ago and write material sort of in the vein of that. And God, we hope it'll last for 2 years, much less 100. But it's all in this sort of same vibe of, you know, inclusive, you know, open-armed jazz. And it's just the warmest feeling in the world to be playing this music. And I think that the energy you're talking about is just, you know, we have a blast up there. And hopefully a little bit of that translates out to people listening.
There's a lot of it translating out to people that are listening to. They have something. You all have something. The Hot Sardines are here tonight. Evan, I want you to tell us about the song because we got to wrap this show up. That's just how the magic of time is. It slips away. But you all are going to – we're going to play it here. Baby, won't you please come home? We're going to dedicate it to the troops because today is Memorial Day. All you troops out there, babies, we want you to come home because the majority of you're all babies out there anyway, 19 years old fighting for this country. So tell us about Baby, Won't You Please Come Home and the vibe you had when you guys recorded it.
Well, this is just a terrific, terrific song. It goes back to the early days of New Orleans. And it has a form that's very interesting in these early songs and traditional jazz songs, which is a verse, like an intro melody. So it goes right before and sets up this beautiful kind of slow, bluesy, pleading kind of interspersed horns with Miss Elizabeth, who does such a great job with her vocal stylings on this one, I think. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, Baby, Won't You Please Come Home is pretty killer because she makes it that way.
She does make it that way. We're going to play it in just a minute. Where can people find you, Evan?
Oh, they can find us at thehotsardines.com, and they can find us live in New York City at the Standard Hotel, usually two nights a week. And a few other places around town, the Cupping Room Cafe, and hopefully we'll be out to L.A. again real soon. We had such a good time there just this week.
All right. And then, Elizabeth, you guys are on Twitter where?
We're on Twitter at Hot Sardines, just like the website, which is hotsardines.com. We're on Twitter at Hot Sardines, and you can find us there. You can also join us on Facebook and see all sorts of incriminating photos of the band members hanging out in the after party in L.A.
Oh, right.
So
yes.
They tried to make us untag them, but we wouldn't do it.
Hot Sardines, once you're inside that can, you can't get out, right?
That's it.
That's right.
Well, it's been a pleasure having you both here. I hope to have you on again. We're going to play your music from time to time, from more time to less time, because I just love
it. Thank you so much. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks so much for having us. That's great, man. Thank you so much.
So let's get it ready, Ronan. Baby, Won't You Please Come Home. We're dedicating it to all the troops that are fighting for this country. You're all supposed to be home by now anyway. So, Baby, Won't You Please Come Home. And Prohibition, won't you please get started again so we can have more people like the Hot Sardines. We don't want anyone else but the Hot Sardines. So, that's what's going to play in your ears, everyone. Tonight, I'm Max and Friends. Thank you all for listening. I got to say a quick thank you, but I'm going to play Baby, Won't You Please Come Home. And in the middle of it, I've got a message for y'all. Stay tuned. Hit it, Ronan.
I've got the blues. I feel so lonely. I'd give the world if I could only make you understand. Oh, it really would be grand. I'm simply wild about my baby, asking, won't you please come home? Since he left, I stay worried all the time. So baby, won't you please come home? You know you're
everyone. You're listening to Max and Friends here on LA Talk Radio. Thanks so much for tuning in. I've got to say a huge thank you to Braxton A. Cosby. Check him out at BraxtonAcosbyGodson.com. Of course, the Hot Sardines. Check them out, HotSardines.com. Thank you all for tuning in. It's been a wonderful show tonight. Jai Ma. I love you, Ma Jaya, and everyone at Kashi Ashram. And, of course, the Florida Home Designer Modeling Show. Catch me, people. I don't know where I'm going to be next, but all I know is that I'm going to be here every Sunday night on LA Talk Radio's Max and Friends. Let's take life to the max this week. Happy Memorial Day, everyone. Take a little time for yourself and just remember that life to the max is the way we need to live. I love you all for listening. Good night. God bless. And happy Memorial Day weekend. Thank you, everyone. Good night.